Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order. This is the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. We're starting at 8:37. We will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll ask Board Member Massey to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, and we actually all got in the same cadence, so that's... I'd like to start off with the roll call of the board. We have to my far left, Valerie Minton. We have to my immediate left, David Noren. I'm John Corbett. To my immediate right is Bill Massey, and to my far right is Greg Giusti. With that, I'm going to ask board members to list any ex parte communications that they've had. And I'll start maybe left to right.
I attended the Russian River TMDL CEQA scoping meeting, had conversations with stakeholders about the irrigated lands program and the state board's grazing regulatory action program.
Mr. Chair, since our last meeting, I've continued to have conversations about the vineyard and ag permitting. I've had conversations around Sonoma County landfill and Sonoma compost issues, and I, as well, have had conversations around the grazing regulatory action plan.
Nothing to report?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since our last meeting, I have had discussions with state and local officials regarding West County sewer systems.
The next item is the State Board Liaison Board Member.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Stephen Moore, Board Member of the State Water Resources Control Board and Liaison to the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's good to be back in Santa Rosa. And yeah, thank you for the workshop you held yesterday on potential flow water quality objectives in the basin plan of the North Coast region. I would just I won't say much about that. I think the executive officer will speak about it. But I will note that I think the presentation showed that to approach the issue of flow allocation for environmental needs in the North Coast, it'll take a team effort between the Water Rights Division of our State Water Board and the North Coast Regional Board staff and the different boards. So suffice to say, you know, we're committed under the Governor's Water Action Plan to make that teamwork happen. So, as usual with my liaison report, I'll start with comments about budget, talk about recent activities of the State Water Board that would be of interest, upcoming activities of the State Water Board that would be of interest to the North Coast, and then finally, any comments on legislation. With respect to the budget, the governor's budget was submitted. I haven't spoken to you since last year because we weren't able to connect in January, but this happened around December. And the point in the process we're at is there's still the May revise and whether the legislature approves the governor's budget, so nothing's set in stone. Just a reminder of everybody, for everybody. But the budget change proposals that have been approved include the topic we talked about yesterday about enhancing water flows as a part of the Water Action Plan. 10 positions have been approved by the governor in the water boards for that activity, and that's a partnership with the Fish and Wildlife Department. And that's the amount requested is almost $2.4 million. A lot of our activity at the state water board level is focusing on providing safe and affordable and accessible drinking water to all Californians per the AB 685 human right to water law. That is the law of the land in California. And so we have budget change proposals. There's some pending issues. We have a concept paper about safe, affordable, accessible drinking water, how to fund this. And there are different ideas being kicked around. such as, and you know, not without controversy, but as, for instance, proposed nitrogen-containing fertilizer tax. Another is a single-use plastic water bottle tax. These are different ideas about how to get at the issue of providing enough funding so that we have safe drinking water for all Californians. So this is an active discussion at the governor's office level. And let's see. And so clearly it's of interest to this region is the marijuana cultivation regulations. 11 positions are proposed in the budget. Two-year limited term positions, and the funding source is proposed to switch from the penalty fund, the waste discharge permitting fund, to general fund for these marijuana cultivation regulation positions. I don't know about the whole breakdown per regional board and state board. Matt would know more about that. So it's the program is proposed to continue. I think it's worth noting the SB 445 underground storage tank cleanup fund law that we're very excited about is issues that we've identified for years that the legislature adopted in SB 445. We're looking at 21 additional positions and 17 continued positions. But this right now there's a partial approval of this approach, and discussions are ongoing with the governor's office. There's some interesting new laws like AB 2071 from Levine on recycled water use for livestock. We're looking at trying to get some funding, such as two limited term positions, but so far that was denied. And then with the Prop 1 water bond, we're looking at 55 positions. And it's an augmentation including from the Wildlife Conservation Board of one position. And so that sounds like a lot, but what that does is it just we'll be able to fund our existing expert staff and grant management, you know, through the water bond, you know, as opposed to the previous bonds. So we also have drought resources on the order of 42 positions. They're one-year limited term positions. So the governor's office takes very seriously the commitment of the water boards to drought response. And it may not have been, what's interesting to me, taking a step back, is the different regional boards have had different pressure on their staff workload due to the drought. And it's a different story in different parts of the state. Some examples, you know, in the Central Coast, there are communities on the verge of running out of water, on, you know, several thousand people, towns, and Cambria is the example we talk about a lot, where regional board staff played a pivotal role in coordinating permitting in many divisions, so not just the recycled water application, but desal brine and the brine disposal pond for the groundwater protection division, so the folks who work on landfill leachate were involved. Our Division of Drinking Water was involved because it's a drinking water source. Division of Water Rights was involved because of the diversions from a couple of creeks. And so the water boards end up playing in as these drought emergency conditions unfold, we may be called upon in ways we didn't anticipate. And so we recognize that staff workload and our performance report and our expectations and targets may not be met because of the need to shift resources to help communities. In Fresno, just one example, you know, staff have been called on to look at an innovative technology to reuse the oily, briny wastewater from oil well disposal that would otherwise be injected into deep well injection wells permitted activity. To find ways to reuse that for farmland because they're in such dire straits in San Joaquin Valley as far as water availability. So staff have to be involved in that, obviously, to make sure that the treatment systems are operated and water quality standards are met. Here in this region last year, you worked on making it possible to use recycled water for some of the agricultural uses up here that wasn't, you know, the necessary regulatory approvals had to be made. So your staff had to be diverted from other activities to be able to do that. And I'm sure there's other examples that Matt and you could give me from this region. It's interesting that, you know, Mother Nature doesn't do everything the same everywhere. And so this year we don't have as, say, acute drought conditions in the North Coast region, but they're still in a drought condition. And so given the current outlook for this rainy season, you know, we stand ready, you know, to assist you in drought response as necessary. And the Division of Drinking Water, think of them as a resource. I met with them yesterday. They're ready to partner with your staff to assist in these type of drought responses. You know, looking ahead, just on drought issues, you can expect more of the same in terms of curtailments in those same watersheds. It may not be according to the year priority of last year, but we basically look at available water supplies and we stack the senior water rights and then, you know, and make a calculation based on our information on water demand where the curtailments need to happen in terms of the priority of water right. So in the Russian River, you know, and the Scott River, and the Eel River, depending on hydrology, you'll probably be seeing similar actions this year. We're certainly seeing it in the Sacramento-San Joaquin system. So recently, we've talked about the new groundwater law, and we're calling it SGMA because it's a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA. And Department of Water Resources plays a key, you know, the more or less the lead role on regulation development for sustainable groundwater. But we have several positions in the groundwater management program at the state board, and so we've been coordinating very closely with DWR and have monthly memos that we produce in terms of all the activities that we're involved in, working with locals to help make this SGMA law a reality and to set up groundwater management agencies at the local level. Upcoming activities. You heard yesterday on the board meeting on April 7th, we will take up the proposed changes to the 303D list of impaired water bodies for California. And so it relates to our discussions yesterday. That will be on April 7th. And then we have a pretty busy agenda next week. We're taking another look at our emergency regulations that were adopted during the drought are about to expire. There are 270-day regulations. And the first regulation we'll be taking up is consideration of amending and readopting the drought-related emergency regulations for urban water conservation. The proposed changes and updates are on the website for those who are interested. We're proposing more or less keeping the existing regulation, but because of the severity of the drought, it's compounding the effects on our water supplies, and this with a dismal level in the snowpack, we think this summer is going to be a lot more stressful than last summer. And so we're proposing some more simple things that individuals in our state can do, such as not irrigating landscaping during rain. You know, real simple things that make sense. Sort of like when you're supposed to turn your headlights on now when it's raining, when you're driving. Well, similarly, you're not supposed to leave your sprinklers on. So you can see we're not being terribly bold, but we're also looking at ideas like the hotel and restaurant industries and how they, you know, serve water automatically or versus being asked for water and that sort of thing. And it's not so much the drinking water itself. It's the dishwasher use for all this dishware that adds up. That's just the efficiency studies have shown. So if you're interested in some of those details, we're also trying to button up what it means to have mandatory restrictions at the local level. the first round, we really wanted to respect the local agency's urban water management planning and their drought contingency planning. So we basically said, do that, you know, do your drought plan. Well, what we've learned is those drought plans are, as you can imagine, among 400 different agencies, there's some variability of what that means. And so we're looking at tightening that down. And we're working very closely with Association of California Water Agencies, or AQUA, to make these recommendations. So it's a real team effort, trying to get the performance improved. But I will note that Californians have demonstrated a real commitment to water conservation, and our data collection that's on our website really demonstrates that, you know, across the state, people have responded, and we've made significant savings. I think if you look at the calendar year 2014 compared to calendar year 2013, we've saved on the order of almost a half a million acre feet, about 450,000 acre feet. That's enough water to serve over 2 million Californians for a year. You know, so it's significant what Californians have done to conserve water. And the same goes for the agricultural sector. We're also going to consider updating the emergency regulations for curtailment of diversions due to insufficient flow for specific fisheries. And these were, and you heard a little bit about this yesterday, these were curtailments of all water rights holders, including riparian and pre-14, to protect genetically important runs of the last native spring run Chinook, you know, in the Sacramento system, in Mill Creek, Deer Creek, and Antelope Creek. We structured these regulations to really reward local efforts to partner and voluntarily meet certain flow goals in these streams. Two out of the three watersheds were successful in setting up voluntary programs that achieved the minimum flows. The third watershed, Deer Creek, was not successful in putting together a voluntary program, and we issued curtailments and a cease and desist order to one of the diverters. We had a settlement with them and didn't have to go to a hearing, but we were on the verge of going to a hearing where I was the hearing officer along with Vice Chair Fran Spivey Weber. So we're looking at renewing them as we've consulted with our partners at Department of Fish and Wildlife and Director Chuck Bonham, and they continue to believe that this system in this current drought needs these type of protections to sustain the native salmon fishery. So we're taking that up on Tuesday. And we're also, there was an aspect of these emergency regulations where we were requesting information that really to demonstrate the basis of water right in the Sacramento San Joaquin system. And so we're, as part of updating our regulations, we're renewing those requirements to provide information. This is taking a step back. I think this will benefit all sides of the water rights issue. You know, whether you're interested in protecting water rights or you're interested in protecting public trust resources, one thing I think folks can agree on is the State Water Board needs to make decisions based on good information. And so we're using this opportunity with the drought to get better information on the documentation of the existing water rights, including pre-1914, because it just helps us do a good accounting and a good administration of the system. And then also, we're taking the opportunity to get better information on the quantity of diversions and the timing, and also the discharges back to the system. And we look to examples like Australia. In their 12-year millennium drought, they really made strides in terms of having a good measurement system, which really enabled everyone to work together and deal with the scarcity of water resources. And so, you know, Chair Felicia Marcus and me, we've talked about this. If there's one thing we can make progress on during this drought, we hope it's getting better information for Californians so that this system that State Water Board administers is done so with better integrity, transparency, and effectiveness. So a lot of interest, obviously, in the water bond. The voters, you know, overwhelmingly approved the $7.5 billion water bond. And we talked about some of those details in December or November. And quick reminder, the water boards are responsible for some, we can say, pots of money, right? There's several million dollars and several pots of money that go with these, and we have five. There's recycled water, and we have small community wastewater, and these would all be grants under the Prop 1 water bond. We have disadvantaged community drinking water, storm water, and contaminated groundwater. I've sat on some panels with multiple agencies that they are in charge of the different pots of money for ecosystem recovery and integrated water management and these kind of things. And so what we're trying to emphasize is that the California Water Action Plan calls on us state agencies to really coordinate and give people the opportunity to cobble together these pots of money for integrated projects, you know, that may involve things like, better forestry to retain water and recreate natural processes and create storage that give you more water supply reliability down the road and groundwater recharge. So we're trying at the state agency level to really encourage applicants to think outside of the silos or the pots of money that we have individually. So I just want to give folks in the audience and this board the sense that we're committed to this integrated water management vision, the multi-benefit outcome vision. Now, the mechanics of this, our Division of Financial Assistance has really, over the last 10 years, built up a great reputation for being efficient to get money out to people. I know we have, you know, states always going to struggle for this, but, our SRF program has made great strides. And so one of the innovations of our Division of Financial Assistance this year, that's great timing for the Prop 1 water bond, is the single application approach. So if a local entity has a project, whether it's wastewater, drinking water, groundwater, et cetera, or local disadvantaged community issues, all those things, a single application in our door, we know what Prop 1 pot to look at in terms of, and then what the disadvantaged community situation is, how much should be grants, how much should be loans, and we'll be looking at drinking water loan, clean water loan, Prop 1 grant, other prop grants, and we'll work with the applicant to figure out a mix that will work for them. Single application. The guidelines for these applications, we're having workshops starting next month on wastewater, following up with recycled water and drinking water. But we'll be ready at the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1st, to be taking in applications that will, where Prop 1 water bond money will be under consideration. And we're consistent with other state agencies that are also shooting for the July 1st date. So for folks that are looking at getting water bond funding, get those project descriptions ready. Look at our application online. See what kind of information you need to provide. And we'll work with you not only to look at opportunities for water bond funding, but also loans and through our other programs. And then finally, on legislation, this is not really the hot time of the year for legislation, but it's interesting. I won't give you really any specifics, but now that we have our new Division of Drinking Water, we're the new improved State Water Board, and a lot of proposals are coming out of the Division of Drinking Water to make that program work better and be, you know, sustainable from a funding standpoint and everything else. And so there are a lot of legislative proposals came out of us and Cal EPA to legislators to improve drinking water. And so there's a lot of proposals that are being considered, as well as water rights proposals related to that issue I was talking about, measurement, you know, and how can we make progress in getting good information so we make good decisions. And I would just say, finally, that there's as much interest in the legislature this year in water as there was last year. And last year was the biggest year in water legislation in 100 years. So that, it's just, it's kind of overwhelming. But it's an opportunity to really fine-tune and improve our programs and make what I hope is just more efficient and effective system for the public that we serve. So thanks for the opportunity to give a report. I'm sure you have lots of questions, or I didn't cover a lot of areas that maybe I should have, but I don't want to take too much time. So thank you.
Any questions or comments, board members?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Steve, first I want to thank you, your staff, Vicki, for coming over yesterday. I thought it was a great discussion, and I really appreciate the coordination that and actually Fish and Wildlife and others that came as well. Thank you personally for making that happen with us. With respect to SB 445, I've worked in the Cleanup Fund as a professional for 20 years, and I'm very happy to see SB 445 adopted. There's one provision of that, though, that's interesting in that it allows a non-petroleum release site to be funded through the mill tax on petroleum. And I'm wondering, has there been any discussion or contemplation of a percentage of that fund or the opening that door? Because that's a crack that I'm sure is going to get widened quickly. And I'm thinking dry cleaners and those types of sites that potentially look at that now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any information about allocation or percent of that or how that could work?
I don't have that handy, but that's something I can get back to you on.
That'd
in terms
great.
Of, because like you say, those kind of things are sort of a quantum step. And yeah, I think dry cleaning is obviously a real important topic statewide, and there may be other solutions since it's so pervasive. But it has been an issue of orphan sites and that sort of thing.
Yes.
So you know, I think creativity is always encouraged, but we have to be true to the intent of the law as well, you know, in terms of what those funds were intended for. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I just had one comment on, I'm hoping the regional board or through our staff will be making input on the state board's input on the marijuana. And I just want to say we have a great 50-year record in this country of failure. And at least for myself, I'm pretty much focused on the three programs that have worked. The Humboldt County Assessor, that they basically assessed 20,000 marijuana growers with about three people. The Yurok Tribes efforts and the utility tax efforts. I'm going to try and get those concepts. And my worst fear is if we repeat past methods and approaches, it will fail. And so I just want to let you know, I would try and listen very carefully on that. And I just add as one thought process. Humboldt County was targeted to be the success story on the war on drugs, and the feds poured in more money than we can imagine. And if you look at it now, it seems to now be the capital of producing marijuana despite that level of effort. So some of those older concepts, it's not like they're bad concepts, they just don't work. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be making input, and I think it's very simple. Aerial first, mail second, liens third, or come in for a hearing are the three principles. And if you get that, it's so much more efficient than any of the other alternatives.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great to learn from past and what mechanisms work. So I really encourage you to work closely with Chris Kerrigan of our Office of Enforcement.
I am, and they have been evolving and changing. And then from my perspective, they talk too much in Sacramento. They get a little polluted, and then we come back and bring them back. So
I'm familiar with that.
But we really appreciate your leadership, his leadership. I just wanted to tell you, if we can get that in legislation, then I believe we can deliver the best chance of delivering a regulatory product. And
that sounds good. I work with Chris a lot, and I just think he's, you know, he's really interested in common sense. So
well,
I hope we can
see,
get
you
there.
You can see it in deliverables. Are deliverables going to be the number boots on the ground visited, or is it going to be permits?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we think the deliverable ought to be permits.
Yeah, good.
Because boots on the ground is too labor intensive. You need probably 30,000 people for
right.
3 years.
Right, right. And I'm glad you're thinking those terms. You know, I think outputs and outcomes of these programs, we need to be have our mind on those type of issues.
And then I do want to thank you. I think you give the best state board reports that I've heard in the entire time I've been on water quality or following the board. So thank you very much for an excellent effort.
Thank you. I'm going to blush. Thank you.
Okay. Can the record reflect blushing? We'll put that in the minutes for sure. All right. The next is the public forum. I'm sorry. We did, before we get public forum, our executive officer yesterday politely deferred to now to give his report on summarizing in-stream flow concepts, and he did that so we could have a robust public testimony, and I appreciate his deference to that. Now we need to defer to him to have a chance to put in his words of wisdom on the in-stream flow, and then we will get to the public forum.
Thank you, John.
And thanks for the high sign that I was I have to look beyond the agenda.
Thank you, John. Members of the board, Matt St. John, Executive Officer. Before I go into my kind of comments related to our workshop yesterday, I wanted to announce that we have a new supervisor for our land disposal and groundwater permitting unit. Mr. Charles Reed has been promoted
okay.
as a senior engineer overseeing that new unit. Charles is in a training today, so he's not able to be here. But we really welcome him to our management team. So
can you communicate the board's congratulations to him?
By all means, thank you. So moving now to my comments related to our workshop yesterday. For those members of the public that weren't here yesterday, we had a workshop on consideration of flow in the water quality regulatory process. I want to express my sincere appreciation to all of the presenters that came and participated in the workshop yesterday, as well as to the members of the public for their interest in the topic and providing comment. So I want to just bring us back briefly to the purpose of yesterday's workshop on addressing flow in the water quality regulatory process and ask, you know, why is it that the Regional Water Quality Control Board decided to have a workshop related to flow and water quantity? And there's a couple of basic reasons. As Brian summarized, there is flow monitoring results and observations that are showing very clear trends of decreasing summer low flow conditions in many North Coast streams. And climate change projections indicate the strong likelihood of continuing and prolonged drought conditions throughout the state, but including impacts to the North Coast. And given these environmental conditions, we believe that we need to do all that we can to prevent species extirpations that could occur due in part to low flow and lack of flow conditions in salmonid bearing watersheds in the North Coast. And also, as Brian started his presentation, I'd like to remind the board and the public about this regional board's new vision statement, because it really is relevant to the question of why and how this board should address flow within the water quality regulatory context. So as you know, our new vision statement is healthy watersheds, effective regulation, strong partnerships. Clearly, having sufficient surface water flows to support aquatic life is fundamental to achieving healthy healthy watershed conditions. Healthy watershed conditions requires effective regulation, including regulations that implicitly and or explicitly address flow. However, as I have regularly emphasize, healthy watershed conditions will only be achieved and effective regulations will only be developed with strong partnerships. And again, as Brian highlighted, within this realm of addressing low flows, the Regional Water Board must have strong partnerships to address low flow and the associated impacts to beneficial use support. And just as Board Member Moore just highlighted, first and foremost, the Regional Board we have to work in lockstep with the State Board's Division of Water Rights, as well as with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and other resource management agencies charged with addressing flow. And we must continue to provide technical assistance and support in every way that we can to non-governmental agencies doing progressive work to improve flow conditions. So with the North Coast Board's vision statement in mind, I'd like to review some of the actions that Brian summarized, some that Samantha identified as well, about the actions that the Regional Board can take to improve flow conditions within the North Coast streams. There's clearly a range of things that we can do, from supporting collaborative voluntary efforts to implement flow restoration and water conservation projects, to establishing new regulations and policies that specifically address flow and water quantity. So within the regulatory context, there's a number of actions that this board is already taking and then some that we're contemplating taking. As Samantha mentioned, last year this board adopted the temperature policy, which is a basin plan amendment, which establishes that flow is a critical factor affecting stream temperature and that attaining natural receiving water temperatures requires maintaining adequate stream flows. Another action, we are encouraging and streamlining the environmentally responsible and protective use of recycled water, which can help to augment stream flows. We're promoting water conservation practices within our waste discharge requirement permits and waivers, and you'll see this soon in the upcoming marijuana waste discharge conditional waiver, in which we specifically promote water conservation practices. We plan to develop policies to promote the management of stormwater as a resource, which you're going to hear about a little bit later today, which is part of the State Board's Stormwater Strategic Initiative. And we will promote groundwater recharge as part of the groundwater protection policy, which is one of the high priority projects that you will be considering later today as part of the triennial review priority projects list. And also, if approved as a priority project under the triennial review, this board will consider criteria for exemptions to existing seasonal discharge prohibitions in order to use highly treated wastewater to augment stream flows on a case-by-case basis. And our staff are already supporting ongoing flow studies being conducted by others, as well as the in-stream flow dedication projects that Brian summarized in his presentation. So we are already doing a lot to address flows, but we believe that there's more that we can do. And in this regard, regional board staff are teaming with our partners at the State Board's Division of Water Rights and the Department of Fish and Wildlife to begin the development of flow criteria. With your support, board members' support, staff intend to start with the development of flow criteria and possibly a flow objective for the Navarro River, and that again is part of the Triennial Review Priority Projects list. While also supporting the efforts by the State Board and California Department of Fish and Wildlife in the initiative that Dan Schultz outlined yesterday and that Steve Moore mentioned again this morning to do enhanced flow work, as it's described, in Mark West Creek, the Shasta River, and the South Fork of the Eel River. And again, this was an initiative that is contemplated and outlined in the governor's California Water Action Plan. And we're certainly pleased that the funding for the five watersheds, three of which are in the North Coast region, have made it into the governor's budget. These efforts are going to require solid and sound science, as well as, again, very strong coordination and collaboration with our partners. The regional board staff believe that we really do need flow numbers for the establishment of flow criteria and flow objectives. We are very encouraged by the development of methodologies that could be applied regionally, specifically the work that Mr. Moreau presented yesterday. And while we believe that we don't need to decide now about the precise regulatory vehicle to implement flow criteria and flow objectives, agreement among the agencies regarding the flow numbers is really very critical. So again, it's going to require very close coordination between our agency, the Division of Water Rights, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And working together with these partner agencies, it's going to be important that we find the right balance of regulatory action that is enough to prompt meaningful stakeholder participation and realize beneficial use benefits. So that concludes my kind of summary comments, bringing us back to yesterday's workshop, and want to thank the board for suggesting that we have the workshop and look forward to as we move forward into this new realm of addressing flows in the water quality context.
Any board member comments or questions? I just had one comment. It is, of course, critical if we can get everyone to agree on the numbers. But I think if we can get agreement with the State Board staff and the Regional Board staff, we do have to be prepared to go forward, because I've seen these get into methodological disputes, and then that are not quickly resolvable. So for example, how to take data in Humboldt Bay, the whole TMDL effort collapsed under that. I've seen it on healthy oceans. What is a healthy ocean? So I think it's very critical that we do everything humanly possible, but if we have to choose those two parties are enough to proceed, and we obviously ought to try for the goal of getting everyone to agree.
One comment.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks, Matt,
for your overview. I just have a question to help me understand where something fits. So when we talk about stormwater management, those are essentially urban-based programs, right?
Our stormwater permits are, there's the municipal stormwater permit, which is certainly for urbanized areas. We also have our construction stormwater and our industrial stormwater programs.
Thanks. And then when we start talking in the South Fork of the Eel, I'm wondering, when we talk about partnerships, you know, there's some large land holdings in there, both Mendocino Redwood Company and the Usol Forest by the Redwood Forest Foundation. Forest management plays a role in flows, and that is becoming clearer, and there's new information coming out to support that statement. I guess I'm thinking out loud here, but I'm wondering if CAL FIRE should be involved, some of the resource folks, or at some point, you know, should we bring in these large landowners that affect a large portion of the watershed? So, again, I'm not saying we have to do that, but given the demographics of a large portion of that watershed, all the way up into Branscombe, which includes the University of California's natural reserve up there. So there's some key players up there who, and like in the Angelo Reserve and the work of Bill Dietrich and others, that are looking at this very relationship between tree density and water yield. So, again, I think when we move into that area, I'd like to be involved in that, and I'd like to point to some, I think, key partners that could help us get to some critical answers.
Great suggestions, and we'll look for your assistance. Thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Matt, thanks. I actually appreciate the going through the list and saying what we're doing and then what is possible out there. I do fully support the flow study model here. I think that given the complexity and the legality and the potential legal challenges you have that are attendant to flow, I believe that strong science is absolutely mandatory. At the same time, though, I think it's clear from the discussion yesterday that flow studies everywhere are going to take a whole lot of time, and they are going to take a whole lot of money. And if we're going to do that as agencies and collaboration, I would surely like to see some real hard look at prioritization and need. I think that there is, I'm very happy, as I said yesterday, that the Shasta, Mark West, and the Eel are included in some of the initial enhanced work that's out there now. And I would bring it back to say that, as I did yesterday, that we were originally asked to list these lists for flow, and we didn't do that. State Board, I realize, is taking this up very soon because they've been asked the very same question. I think that there's a broad recognition that flow is a very big issue here. At the same time, I strongly also support the look at and the consideration of regional approaches that give a conservative backdrop to have in place. I think that fits coastal tribs very well and coastal streams well. I also think that sprinkled through this needs to be a very big piece of adaptive management on all agency sides. I think that, you know, from what Steve talked to us about this morning, the drought and the ongoing drought, I think, magnifies the limitation of resource, the need for regulatory flexibility and adaptation, because this world's changing and we have very little control over that. It's very clear too that we have a system in water rights that is robust legally. It's time and place. It's 101 years in the rearview mirror of stacked up water rights, and they're very, very difficult, it's obvious, to get at. At the same time, you know, it's encouraging to hear the deer and the antelope and Mill Creek had some success out there when some flow numbers were established, that there was people that came to the table to do things. That's been true also with 1707 dedications. We've had proposals from some of our northern counties to do enhanced capture and recharge during high flow in winter through flood irrigation and put that money in the bank with storage of groundwater enhancement projects. I think there's a broad range. I'm also very interested, and I'd like to hear back in the future, the ways that we could, giving our house and Port of Cologne, our discharge of waste model, our effect to water quality model of the tools that we could use in detail. I think the marijuana permit is a very big example of things that we should look at hard about how flow goes into that. And I would like to know the tools that we have explicitly and better understand that, because we're wandering into a world that we really haven't done before. And that was a very big step yesterday. And I think it's a very big step as agencies to be talking about this in the open and come to some agreements to go forward. And I just want to know the range of tools that we have in our house and then how we use those tools outwardly, inwardly, and how we use them in collaboration with others better. Thank you.
Any other board members? I just had one thing that needs to be clarified in the future is we're designating specific areas, and then we're saying we're going to go to a regional approach. That could be in conflict, and I hope maybe when that we you further clarify how you intend to reconcile those two. Any other comments? Okay, we now are at public